In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name's Bob. This is podcast number 67. It's February 15, 2015. Well, today a message I preached in January of this year at the Philadelphia Korean Church in Lincolnwood, Illinois. It was through an interpreter, and we won't even call it, I called it a message, and I said preach, but it's a lesson that I taught from the pulpit, so then it turns into a sermon, I guess. But actually, I'm not a sermonizer, as you will see. I just like to go through the scripture one verse at a time and tell people what it's about. They used to call that expository preaching. I still like to just say it's teaching the scripture. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 12 is our text. Isaiah was the... You know what, let me read that. Let me read that before I forget and before you get totally lost in what I'm talking about. Isaiah 6, got your Bible there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, and because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and their eyes shut, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." And then I said, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land." Isaiah 6, 1 to 12. Who was Isaiah? They say he was the greatest of all the Hebrew prophets. Maybe he's not your choice, but I can imagine why people would say Isaiah was the greatest of all the Hebrew writers, the Hebrew prophets. He's called the evangelical prophet. He actually described, Isaiah did, in detail, the life of Jesus 700 years before Jesus came. He prophesied for four kings in Judah and Jerusalem: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. It was at the end of that first one, Uzziah, that his call to what we would call the ministry, the call to be a prophet, came. That was in about 740 B.C., before Christ. Interesting about his name, Isaiah, we say, in Hebrew, as close as I can say it, is Yeshayahu, or Yeshayah. The Lord is salvation is what his name means. But look at it just a little bit closer and you see Yeshua, which is the name for Jesus in Hebrew, and Yah, the name for Yahweh, or the Lord, the Father, if you please. You've got the Father and the Son giving their name, their title, to this one man, Isaiah, because this man spoke for them, for God. And so you would think, wow, what a great man this was. Wow, he must have been such a success, right? Well, he failed. Yeah, he just failed. Flat out failed. What was his task? It was to win Israel back to God. Isn't that the task of every preacher, every prophet, every man of God when he stands before other people? To bring them to God or back to God? God himself, you could say, failed because it was God speaking through Isaiah. God told him what to say. God was with him the whole time. But the message failed. Jesus, when he came and preached, didn't he also fail? That's how we look at it. Great failures. That's how we look at it. Not true, right? We will not judge by our sight, by our perception of the way things are going. We will not judge what is being success and what is failure. I've done it. I've done it just recently. Don't like this job, Lord. I don't like having no results. I don't like where I'm at right now. Nothing's happening. And that's, of course, as we look at things, as we look at it, nothing's happening, nothing's going on, no success, no ministry, you know. We've all done it. We've all been there, I think. If you've been in the ministry or in Christian life at all, you'll go through times when you think your life is worthless, purposeless. And then God will lead you to a man like Isaiah, who did it all right, did the right message, right time, right place, everything was right, and he failed. God even told him, you're going to fail. That's Isaiah, the man. Let's talk about the kings and the kingdoms around him. Uzziah was the king who died in that first verse. He was 16 years old when he first became king, took the kingdom from his dad. Didn't take it from him. It was given to him, had to be given to him. His dad was named Amaziah. Now, Amaziah, king of Judah. I don't know if you all understand who are listening to me that what Judah means. And when we talk about the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, it was just Israel at one time. David ruled over Israel. Solomon ruled over Israel. But Solomon's son had part of that kingdom taken away just for him. That was the tribe of Judah and maybe a little bit else there. And that became the southern kingdom. And this all happened because of rebellion in the ranks. I won't go into all the details, but the kingdom was divided. Israel became the northern kingdom, and really the slow kingdom as far as progress with God. And it was a kingdom that eventually fell away altogether. Judah did also, in fact. Judah and Israel had trouble with figuring out who their God was. Sounds familiar today? It's in the church. It's always been among the people of God a problem that other gods come along and want their attention. But Amaziah had turned away from God, worshipped false gods. Israel, can you believe this? This is the same Israel, the nation that had been taken by God out of Egypt in this miraculous way. So many miracles happened to them in the wilderness. And brought into the promised land and conquered that, and more miracles and more miracles, and God was just with his people. And the first thing they did, and the regular thing that they did, was serve some other god and make God jealous. It's us too. The moment you start talking about the Jewish history, you got to talk about Christian history too, and your personal history, don't you? Yeah, we do the same thing. Oh, look at the things God's done for you. Look at the things God's given to you. Why aren't you thankful? Why do you go off and serve some other god? Why do you get distracted by other things that just seem to be so important to you? Why? Amaziah was the king. He wasn't just an Israelite. He was a king. And he came into this king's mind. And God didn't want kings to begin with, you know. He had hoped that his people would just trust in him. That's what he still wants. We still love to play the government game in the church. Who's going to be in charge? I hope it's me. or at least that the person who is in charge will do what I want him to do, and or else I'll just go someplace else. So the government thing. Amaziah was the top of the government in Israel, in Judah, in the southern kingdom, which was the favored kingdom, because that's where Jerusalem was, that's where the temple was, that's where all the good things, the promises were. It was all a good place. But they had some bad kings, and this was one of them. He thought he had a right to do what he wanted to do. He's king, after all. King of Judah. It got to him. The pride of being over these people, God's people. I think pastors have that problem from time to time. They're over God's people. They know more than they do. The pastors do. The pastors are supposed to, anyway. You wonder about it in these days. But the pastor knows more, and he supposedly lives better, and so on. He's prospered in a lot of different ways because of that, and then it gets to him. And he wants to be a king. He wants to be a lord. He wants to lord it over God's people, and God won't have that. He got so proud, Amaziah did, in his heart, he decided he was going to pick a fight with Israel. After all, Israel's inferior. They definitely were worshiping other gods up there. Amaziah's doing the same thing. But he picked a fight with Israel, which is kind of ridiculous, because Israel was about 10 times bigger. I mean, there were times when there was a conflict ordained of God. And Judah would whip Israel because God wanted him to. Sometimes it worked the other way, but little Judah was favored in so many ways. And Amaziah knew the history, but he didn't know his God. Some people can almost worship history, but they need to worship the true God of history. Amaziah wasn't into that. He wanted to keep up the same thing that had been going on for years, that Judah just kept winning. He thought the favor was because of them, because of Judah. Didn't know that their favor was from God, and that without God's favor, he wasn't going to go anywhere. But he went and picked that fight anyway, and he lost, obviously. He lost. God's not going to protect a kingdom that turns its back on him. Did you hear me, America? God's not going to protect this nation any longer. We've turned our back. We always thought that majority rule was such a wonderful thing. Freedom, the people get to rule and all. It's a wonderful thing if the people are godly people. That is, if the majority are godly. Well, I'm afraid that it's turned out that the majority aren't godly anymore. The majority don't follow after God or God's ways anymore in our country, America. Therefore, what's God's choice? What are the people's choice? Well, that's how we are. What do the people want? Well, the people want evil. And the people are getting their evil. We hadn't quite thought that far ahead when we did our Constitution. And I love the Constitution, and I love our history. It's just a wonderful history that we've had, because the majority of the people wanted the right thing most of the time. But it's not true anymore. It's simply not true. Issue after issue is going down, because the people have decided against it. And so God's protection of America will go down too. You just watch. Well, you have been watching. I don't know. This is no news to most of you. God's not going to protect a people that will turn its back on him every time they get a chance. Blessed are the people whose God is Jehovah. But the opposite of that is true too. Uzziah took the kingdom, because Amaziah lost it by death. And his little boy, 16-year-old, a teenager, takes the kingdom. And he had reigned for 52 years. For 52 years. I think that's the record in Israel, even more than David. He wasn't a perfect king, but he was a good king most of that time. Sought the Lord during those years, and he prospered, as is true of anybody who will seek the Lord. When I say prosper, you know what I mean. You're going to have food in your belly. You're going to be all right. You're going to have everything you need if you seek the Lord. I didn't say you'd be rich. I said you'll have everything you need. And you, as you look at it, as you look around you, you'll think you're rich. The world won't call you rich. Unless you really are. Occasionally that happens. Rich people can be saved, but it's very, very difficult. if you're listening to me and you got tons and tons of money, you may even get to heaven, but you may not. The chances are you won't because you're trusting in that money. And Uzziah, that is, sought the Lord, prospered. He fought God's enemies. But like his dad, and aren't sons eventually like their dad, or at least at first, somewhere in there, there's dad, right, and mom. Somewhere, like dad, he got strong-headed. Strong, depending on his own strength. He forgot about God. He got proud. I'm going to tell you tomorrow what he did right after he got proud and what happened because of that. I hope you'll be able to keep joining me with this message. I think it's an important message because it has to do with the call of God on my life, on your life, on all the lives of God's people. There's a call on us, and I think a very particular call in these days. Well, let's see. Do I have anything else to share with you today? No, I think that'll do it. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, we'll be getting back to Mueller in 2 or 3 days after I finish this message on Isaiah. Yes, we'll be getting back to the persecuted church. It's getting awfully busy on the podcast, and I'm happy about that. Just I can't always get in everything that needs to be gotten in a day. But got some good stuff. Please remember to subscribe and join me every day that you possibly can. And don't forget Isaiah 6:1 then. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I pray that you will see him too. In Jesus' name. Bye-bye.